I want to comment, say a couple things. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that? Okay. Do you understand that God created us for fellowship? God wants to have a relationship with us. You understand that? I want to make sure. I don't want to go ahead if you don't know this. Okay? Do you know that? Okay. If you wanted to have a relationship with me, which some of you have, and you've invited me to your house or invited me to eat with you, what did I say when you invited me? Well, I said, thank you, but I said, I'm coming, right? I said, yes, right? If you invited me, what do you think? If you said, Brother Harvey, yeah. No, I have to say it's food. You go, okay. That's all right. That bothered me a bit, brother. I wear that. Okay. What I'm saying is, if you invited me to eat, what would I say?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So in other words, if you invite me in your life, I would tell you yes, right? Okay. Whatever it is, I told you, we were down by Mexico, and they were serving some stuff that I ate it anyway, okay? Now, one of the things that people brought, I couldn't speak for 3 days. I couldn't talk. I mean, I had heartburn and stuff from eating this stuff, but I ate it because they brought it, and they said, Pastor, I made this. It's really good. Have some. And I looked at it, and I went, I didn't want to eat it, but they, because it was in their heart, they wanted to give that to me, and I received that. Okay? Now, it hurt me. I couldn't talk for 3 days. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night with heartburn, felt like this hot spot was about like this in my body. It was terrible, but it was worth it because I loved the people. You understand? I didn't want to hurt them. Okay? I'm saying that to say this. God always accepts an invitation. When you first start coming and you're hearing and God is drawing on you like this, okay? When you're in a situation like this and you're feeling like you don't even know what you're feeling, like what is going on here? I don't even know what's going on. It's God. If it wasn't God, we could explain it. But because it's God, I can't explain what all is going on inside of you. Because God is working in everybody in this place, but in a different way. Because everybody's in a different place. You understand? So God's dealing with some people that need some healing from where they've been hurt in the past. God's dealing with some other people, and He's calling them and saying, you need to come and know me. He's dealing with some other people and saying, you need forgiveness. You need to come to me for forgiveness. But whatever way, God, when you pray, when you open your heart, when you open your mind, God always accepts an invitation. When you invite Him, God, I want you. God, I need you. God, I don't even know what's going on inside of me, but I want to come to you, and I don't know how. When you do that, you're opening up to God, and God is going to come and work inside of you. He's going to keep working in you to bring you where you need to be. All you have to do is want Him and be open to Him. Okay? Does that make sense? He can't help you if you're closed. He can't help you if you think you know everything. He can't help you if you're not honest. He can come and keep touching your heart. But when He touches something, you need to be honest about it. When you're honest about it, He can go further. And you're honest about that, He can go further. One of the things I think about whenever I think about talking in front of people is this. How much of Jesus do you want? See, I want all of them. I just got to have all of them. I don't want just... I used to want lots, and then I realized I've got lots. I need more. So it's like, I just want all of you, God, whatever that means. Just I want you. I just want you. See, I don't want lots of Sue. I want all of Sue. You see what I'm saying? But when I first met her, I had none of Sue. Okay? She didn't want none of me. But as she kept hanging around me, she finally wanted me. Well, when she wanted me, because she had been hurt before, because she had been married before, she could only give me a little bit of her. Do you understand? That through the years, do you understand? Through the years, now she's open to me. I have all of her. Okay? God wants all of you. And I don't just mean all of you. He wants all of you, and all of you, and all of you, and all of you. You burp. He wants all of you. All of you. All you have to do is tell him. So say, if that's what you want, say this with me. Jesus, I want you. I want to be open to you. Anything that's blocking you, in me, I'm inviting you to come deal with it and remove it. Because I want you. I want to get closer to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Now, have you ever heard me tell you that you ought to read your Bible? Has anybody ever heard that before? I'm just wondering. Has anybody ever... I just want to see hands, just to encourage me, if you've ever heard me say that before. You ought to read your Bible. Okay. All right. So, maybe I need to say it more often, because not very many hands went up. So, I'll just say it more often, okay? I'm going to read out of the Bible, and one of the reasons that I read out of the Bible is because there's a verse, Romans 10:17, and it says this, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. In order for you to believe in God, you have to hear God's Word. Not just hear about God and get warm fuzzy feelings and cry, but to have faith in God, you have to hear God's Word. I just want you to listen. I'm not going to give you the verses where to look them up. I'm just going to read the verses. I want you to listen, okay? Now, when I'm reading, because these verses deal mainly with people coming to know God, being saved. Maybe you say, I'm already saved, I don't need to hear these verses. Well, maybe you need to hear them because they don't just apply for your salvation of getting to know God and being rescued from your sin, but being rescued from where you are right now, whether it's having an accident, or whether it's healing, physical healing, or whether it's a relationship with somebody that you already have or somebody that you want to have. These are truths that we need inside of us. And maybe it's a truth that you already own it. It's already alive in you. But maybe you need to get it more so you can take it and give it away to somebody. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? So I want you to listen as if your life, right this minute, your life depended on it. Okay? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, or lived among us. And we beheld, we saw His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, the only one born of the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world, each person in the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, anyone, that would believe in Jesus. They should not perish, should not be damned, should not be lost no more, but have everlasting life. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by Him. But when He came here, the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, the children of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born again, not of blood, not because of who they were related to, nor the will of the flesh, not because they decided it, nor the will of man because somebody else wanted it, but they were born of God. The next day, John the Baptist seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already guilty. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is what makes them guilty. That light is come into the world, come into their lives, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, everyone that does evil, hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. In other words, that he would be convinced that he's wrong and he's at fault. But he that doeth truth, he that does truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest or clearly known or revealed, that they are wrought, that they are doing this because of God in them. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved or delivered, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He became a man just like us. He was made a little lower than the angels. Why? So that He could suffer death, and yet He was crowned afterwards with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, by the working, the ability of God, Jesus should taste death for every man. And almost all things are by the law purged or cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission, no removal, no forgiveness of sin. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, of a truth I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved or rescued. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, if ye believe not that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised rescuer, then you're going to die in your sins. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps, maybe, the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. O have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Please don't let me get what I deserve. Wash me thoroughly, wash me completely from mine iniquity, my perversity, my evil, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge right now in front of everybody, I acknowledge my transgressions where I've gone beyond your limits, and my sin is ever before me. And the tax collector, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If we confess our sins, openly admit, if we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just or right to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wherefore, or because of this, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, rescued, delivered from the power of sin. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You believe right in your heart, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, everyone in your family. For the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for sinning is death. What we have earned for sinning is death, separation from God. But the gift of God, what we don't earn, what we don't deserve, something that someone gives us freely, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For by grace, God's ability and favor, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of you doing something, lest any man should boast. Look what I did. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son, Jesus, has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I got to stop here. That's what happened with Richard. He says, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternal life. Man, 60 years old, let's say, I don't know how old it is, but I'm figuring he's around 60. 61, see, I was close. 60 years, he never stepped foot in a church. 8 months ago, we tricked him. We said, this is a resale shop. So he came in here. You know what he did when he came in here? He'd buy cookies and cakes and he'd irritate people and he'd sit around and but you know what? He kept hanging out here. He didn't know he was getting ready to leave the earth in a little bit of time. He didn't know he was going to be sick. But as he came and he hung out here, he experienced Jesus. He heard about Jesus. And now he has Jesus. And he has peace. And he tells that to his family. And they are just like flabbergasted. They're just like, I can't believe it. He's never been like this in his whole life. What did y'all do? That's what they ask us. What did y'all do? They come here and scratch their heads. Y'all are just ordinary people. Why does he love it here so much? Do you understand? Jesus! See? There's no S. It's a big J. That's why we had to take the phone booth out of here. That's right. Okay. Giving thanks. See, when you meet him, you're going to want to give thanks unto the Father. Do you want to give thanks unto the Father? I'm telling you. Which hath made us meet or fit or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who God hath delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, in Jesus, we have redemption. We are ransomed. We are bought back. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We began this last week. I'm going over it again. I felt like God said to do it. Realize your condition. Admit your inability. Realize God's solution. Admit Christ's ability, Jesus' ability, and then choose to depend. Lean on Jesus. Number one, realize your condition. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all of us together, are gone out of the way, God's way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, can I ask a question right here? Is the Bible true? Well, what if what you think is different than what the Bible says? Who's wrong? You agree with that? So, God says, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Are you good? I'm not talking about perfect. He said, there's none good. Now that's a big step. Because until you realize I am not good, you can't even meet Jesus. As long as you think you're good, you'll never come to him. You have to be lost to be found. You have to be lost to get saved. I'm reading that again. There is none that doeth good, no, Not one. We want to tell everybody the good things we do. But what does God say? There's none that doeth good. That's why we need Jesus. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the devil that deceived us was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Where is that? The lake of fire and brimstone. Now listen. And I saw a great white throne, God's throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, but there was no place for them to hide. And I saw the dead. One thing that's common to all of us is we all die. And I saw the dead, small and great. I'm something important. Stand before God. Remember? Great white throne. He's sitting on the throne of judgment. And I saw the dead stand before God. And the books were opened. The Bible. It's a library of 66 books. And the books were opened. The books were opened. He says, and then another book was opened, which is the book of life. When you were born, they gave you a birth certificate. Not you, but they gave it to your parents, right? You got a birth certificate, right? This is the book of life. When people are born again, they get written in the book of life. And the dead, which is everybody, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Everything that we've done is going to be brought before God, and we're going to have to stand there and give an account. Everything in our life. And the sea, the oceans gave up the dead which were in them. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell then were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, where death, hell, the devil, the false prophet, and the beast are. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, people who've been into drugs, and idolaters, worship anything but Jesus Christ, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's our condition. We need to admit our inability. When we were yet without strength, when I could not help myself, in due time Christ came and died for the ungodly. And the tax collector, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful. Please have mercy on me, a sinner. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, by people trying to keep the commandments, do good stuff, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or declared righteous in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. But without the shedding of blood is no remission or removal of sin. We need to realize that's our predicament. We need to realize God's solution to our need. I put in here death, burial, and resurrection. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, you are rescued, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I needed this first. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, being justified freely, being declared guiltless freely by His grace, by His ability, through the redemption, through Him buying us back, that is in Christ Jesus, whom Jesus, God, has set forth to be a propitiation, which means a satisfactory payment. God has set Jesus forth to be a satisfactory payment through faith in His blood. What do you have to offer me? Why should I let you into heaven? All I have is the blood of Jesus. He said, that's the only thing I accept. Anything else you try to offer me will not get you in. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. Why? For the remission, the removal of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. But God commendeth, God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we straightened up. He didn't wait till the hitman said, I'm sorry. He went and said, treat me as if I was the hitman. And He took what the hitman deserved. And then He said, now, I want to forgive you. Will you accept my gift of forgiveness through my blood? Realize my blood, the blood of God, had to be spilled for you. But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus came and spoke unto them saying, I'm sorry, point number four is admit Christ's ability. Admit Jesus' ability. And Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And when the disciples came and they entered into the sepulcher, entered into the grave where Jesus had been laying, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. They were scared. And He saith to them, don't be scared. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. What that's saying is, God said the only way you and I could be saved was for God, in the body of Jesus, to go through what He went through, because every sin has to be paid for. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain or killed Him, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be holden of death. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. God said, you know, I'm going to do what I said because I raised Jesus from the dead. Wherefore, He is able also to save or rescue them to the uttermost. Anywhere, anyone, no matter what sin they've done, God is able to save them that come unto God by Jesus, seeing Jesus ever lives to make intercession for them. Jesus prays for us. Do you know He's praying for you right now that you will come? He's praying that you will accept His blood and let His blood wash you from your sin. Now, point number five, this is what you need to do. Choose to depend on Jesus. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation, what I expect is from Him. I'm not expecting something from Pastor Harvey. I'm not expecting something from Pastor Glenn. I'm expecting something from Jesus. But as many as received Him, do you want to receive Jesus? To them gave He power to become the sons or the daughters of God, even to them that believe on His name. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among or to men whereby we must be saved or rescued. And He brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto you getting saved. Now, you've never heard these verses before. And as for thy nativity, the day you were born, and the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to clean thee. Thou wast not salt at all, nor swaddled at all. No eye pitied you to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but you were cast out in the open field, to the loathing or the hating of thy person in the day that thou wast born. What this is saying is, nobody loved you before God the way God loves you. They didn't care for you, take care of you. They may have loved you as much as they could, but their love was shallow. And for the most part, they didn't care about you. And God says, And when I passed by thee, and I saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply. I'm the one who's caused you to multiply as the bud or the flowers of the field. And you have increased and waxed great, and you are come to excellent ornaments. Your breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown. Whereas thou wast naked and bare before I found you. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, God said, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant, an agreement with you, saith the Lord God, and you became mine. I entered into an agreement, a covenant. That's what salvation is you making a covenant with God, and then you become His. And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You walk like everybody else. According to the prince of the power of the air, you lived like the devil, taking, caring only about you. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom, among them also, we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past, in the lust, the strong desires of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace, by God's ability, are you saved. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, hath He made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient and deceived, serving different kinds of lust and pleasure, living in evil and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, or being born again and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you want Jesus? Do you believe that He is God in the flesh? He died on the cross for you. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. Do you believe that? And then He died on the cross. Who did He die on the cross for? He said it, but you know who he died for? There was a day that she said, He died for me. There was a day He said, He died for me. There was a day she said, He died for me. You see, though He died for everybody, it doesn't help you a bit until you realize and admit, He died for me. I needed Him to die for me. Because I can't save myself. It's not me trying to be better. I need Jesus. Do you want Jesus? Do you need Jesus? Tell Him, God, I want You. If I can help you, come to me. If you want to come and kneel at this altar, come. I'm letting you know truth. You heard pure Word of God today. And you heard a lot of it. When I read it at my house, it took me about 22, 23 minutes to read it. Of course, I didn't add a few words when I was doing it. But, you know, I did read it slowly. But we normally don't get out of here till 1:30 or 2. I thought we'd get out of here sooner, and we are. But it doesn't matter how soon we get out of here. It matters how soon we get into Jesus. Now, God is working in your heart. You can sit there. You could come forward. You could go home. But God's working in your heart. You just tell Him, keep working in me. I want You. I need You. Whatever's blocking, if there's anything that's stopping me from going forward with You, Jesus, I don't want that. I want You. Is that your prayer? I know it is. That's what I love about you. Because the ones who don't want that, they can't keep coming here. Because that's what we talk about here. That's what we live here, is Jesus. Because we've got to have Jesus. Because you could be all polished. Says when they showed those announcements up on the board and it said next week, I think it's next week is, what's next week?
Easter.
Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And I was thinking, what if we all dressed up on Easter? What if we all dressed up in pretty clothes and stuff, you know? What if we did that just like, you know, yeah, have to wear a, what's that thing called? A tie, all right, yeah, you know?
They quit making them?
Boy, am I glad. Oh, she wants you to, yeah, you want me to make one? Troublemaker, that's her middle name. And we're so glad. I wouldn't want you to be any different. Why don't we dress up next week? Why don't we just do that? let's just do something different. Let's just dress up for Jesus. What do you think? Now, we don't have to do that every week, okay? God told me a long time ago. I used to dress up, you know, have the suit and the tie and the wingtip shoes and wear my suit all the time. And then about 1993, I think we were starting our third church at the time, and I was praying, God, what do you want me to wear? You 1993. And that's when I met Steve and Cheryl. And I said, God, what do you want me to wear? And he said, blue jeans. And I said, excuse me? Blue? I don't wear blue. What do you want me to wear? He said, blue jeans. I said, God, we don't wear blue jeans to church. I said, I'm talking about going to church. He said, it was Sunday morning, you know. He said, blue jeans. I said, God, are you sure? He said, Harvey, when you get free on the outside, it'll help you to get free on the inside. When you quit trying to impress people and worrying about what you look on the outside, he said, you know what I look at is what's on the inside. He said, the outside is just what you're showing to everybody. But that's not always true, is it?
No.
You know, like when people say, hi, how are you doing? And you say, fine. And you're lying. You're lying. You're angry. You're upset. You're worried. You just got pulled over by a cop. Whatever. And you go, you know, you're just wearing a fight with your mate. Fine. I'm fine. You're lying like a rug. Right? God looks on our heart. This is what we need to be, is this real person. That's what you want to be, right?
Yeah.
And to be honest, have you ever heard people say, church is full of hypocrites? You know why? Fine, fine, fine. I love you. I love you. What does that mean? You love me. What does that mean? We don't want to be hypocrites, right? And we don't want to be surrounded by hypocrites, right? So let's all get honest. Then we have to forgive and we get to be like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what Paul doesn't know what she's doing. What I'm talking to you about is you and Jesus in your life. You and Jesus in your everyday week. Somebody just came up to me recently and said, you know, we had a problem and there was an accident and, you know, it cost me this much money and the insurance was going to give me that much money, but we prayed. And you know what? God took care of the need. Now, this person is brand new, just trying to come to Jesus. And this person is learning because they've been hanging around us and they've been learning. Just talk to him about everything because he cares about everything in your life. He's better at family than the Bosnians are. So that I mean, he's an awesome guy because the Bosnians are awesome. I love the way they love each other. I want to learn that more from them. I'm serious. I love the way they love each other, you know, as family. You know what I mean? Because my family's not like that. They say they love me, but they don't. They're glad I don't live in Florida anymore. They're glad I live 1,100 miles away, you know. Because when I go down there, they'll all show up. But if I start talking, I notice they're all getting all nervous and stuff, you know. And they want to keep it all light and just talk about work or something, you know. And it's like, okay, yeah. They just want to be surface. And I just can't do the surface stuff. God, thank you so much for allowing us to come to your house. Thank you, Father, for inviting us every week. Thank you for giving us a place where we can experience you, find you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You are so awesome. Lord, thank you for surrounding me with all these HLBs, all these hungry little birds for Jesus. These other people that want Jesus, want you like I want you. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, work in every heart. Everyone here said they want you, they need you, and they invite you to remove whatever the block is because they want to come forward, they don't know how. So just show them what they need to give to you and the baby step they need to take. What they need to give to you, here's my sin, here's my worry, here's my pain, whatever it is, what they need to give to you, show it to them. And they would just choose to cooperate. Okay, here's my sin, here's my pain, here's my need, here's my mate. And then you would show them, what's the baby step I need to take, Father? Pray, make them a cake, trust me, pick up my Bible, read it, whatever it is. And Lord, it's that simple. Give you what we can't handle and ask you what the baby step is because we're just the little kids. Thank you for being our daddy. You are so awesome, Jesus. My desire is that you would protect this flock, that you would keep them safe. I just see like a hen, a mother chicken with all the little chicks under her wings. And Lord, I just want you to do that with each person here and hold them close up next to your breast. And I say, thank you, Jesus.